In a small church in Selma, Alabama, they gathered. They had had enough. The black people that gathered, the people that gathered, wanted to be allowed to vote, and they were called to serve, to be the change. One small congregation chose to make a difference, and they changed this country. This weekend marks the 50th anniversary of the march from Selma to Montgomery, at a time when Unitarian Universalists received a call from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, asking them to come and witness and stand on the side of love. And Unitarian Universalists arrived by busfuls and carfuls. Two UUs actually gave their lives in the name of justice. The Reverend James Reeb, a UU minister from Boston, and Viola Lacuza. Let us remember them this morning and their commitment to being advocates for change. At this time of the year, in congregations around the country, we are given an opportunity to reconsider our commitment to Unitarian Universalism. Do the core values of this faith still align with who we are and want to be in this world? Are we willing to put it on the line? This time of year also offers members, friends, and visitors of First Parish an opportunity to contemplate your renewal and continued support emotionally, physically, and financially for this community of hope, faith, and love. The question on my mind this morning is, what can I say to you about embracing Unitarian Universalism and pledging your time and money to support the good work of First Parish that you haven't heard at least once or several times already? This morning I could speak about your rich history, your legacy to the future. I could speak of your justice work in the world. I could speak of our new need as human beings to have a place such as First Parish that calls us to be our best selves. There is so much that I could say. In my theological understanding, I believe that we are spiritual beings experiencing a human life. Thus, I'm called to find truth, make meaning, and to stand for justice. I ground myself in Unitarian Universalist values, and this morning I'm called to share a mantra with you. When one is grateful, fear disappears and abundance appears. Why is this mantra important? Because fear, as we saw in Selma so long ago, is one emotion that feeds the worst that humankind can realize. Albeit greed is a close second, but fear taps into our amygdala, part of our brains that can cause us to be unreasonable. Fear causes humankind to react in abominable ways. I imagine how I would have felt if I put out a call to religious leaders around the country as people were being beat down on the Pettus Bridge. If I called for help and people came to stand with me. Let us measure fear with gratitude and that all that bolsters gratefulness. What would we prefer, fear or gratefulness? When one is grateful, fear disappears and abundance appears. That is what I believe made a difference in Selma, a sense of abundance. Martin Luther King pulled out that call, and everyone came, white and red and yellow and black and brown, all together. That is a sense of abundance. It wasn't money. It was showing up. One of the things I've been thinking about a lot this week is, I wonder how many of you feel truly grateful or blessed in your lives this morning. I'm asking you to be truly honest. Do you feel blessed? Do you feel grateful? Kudos to you who do feel grateful and blessed. Our natural proclivities go, yeah, of course I do. But then we start to think about it. It's like, do I really feel grateful every single day, all the time? And, well, maybe not. Some of us may not feel all that blessed. And that may be in part why and how one finds their way to First Parish in the first place. They're seekers or looking for something that helps them feel connected, honored, grateful. Do we have what they're looking for? Are we willing to provide it? Unitarian Universalist congregations are a place where one can bring their whole self exactly how we are. This fact in itself is a blessing beyond compare. I mean, think about it. There's so many places out there where you go and some part of you is unwelcome. But picture this place, that no matter what, you will be welcomed. That is what I found when I made my way to Arlington Street Church, that long, 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 long time ago. And I wondered, as I thought about my first experience in a Unitarian Universalist community, do you remember the first time that you entered a Unitarian Universalist meeting place? Was it First Parish? Here's where I'm going to challenge you. In a word or two, and I'm going to hold you to this, what was it that compelled you to attend that second time and then in time to become a member of First Parish? And if over the years you decided to step away, what was it that brought you back? If you didn't leave, what was it that made you stay? What was it? Friendship. Your kids. Your wife. Community. By the year. Belonging. People. Home. Music. Stirring up emotions. Feeling of belonging. UU principles. Safety of the place. How many lifelong Unitarian Universalists do we have in this congregation? You have to wonder where all those UUs were. Where did they go? Why aren't they here? Did they go secular on us? What happened? Did they go to other religions? I just can't imagine that. They did. They did go to other religions. I often wonder what my life would have been like if I were raised a Unitarian Universalist. Instead, I was reared a Catholic, and I found my home in this denomination because, as Della said, of those UU principles. When I read them, I realized that you are my people. The inherent worth and dignity of every person, the search for truth and meaning, the democratic process, the interdependent web, it was all cutting edge, mind-blowing stuff. But it wasn't just lip service. That was the thing that blew me away. UUs have and do walk the talk. That's what compelled me to go further. And I went all the way. Whether it was abolitionism, smuggling Jews out of Europe as Hitler gained power, burning draft cards and offering sanctuary to conscientious objectors, standing on the side of love in support of racial equality and marching in Selma, fighting for gender equality, identity equality, right to marry, no nukes, speaking out against climate change and about climate change, taking personal action with regard to climate change, speaking out in favor of immigration reform, prison reform, economic justice, access to health care and clean drinking water for all, to name a few. Unitarian Universalists have worked hard throughout history to do the right thing over and over and over again. It is a lifelong commitment. One of our greatest acts of social justice, bar none, is that we welcome all people to gather in peace. Now that is truly radical. That we are willing to open our minds and our hearts and welcome in the other to be part of our UU Rainbow Tribe. Last night at the Seekers Potluck, we were talking about tribe. It was so funny because I had written this idea about Rainbow Tribe and then we're talking about it and I didn't bring it up. So we are all on the same wavelength about this. Yet how many of you challenged me? And you know who you are. And you said to me, but would we really welcome someone who thinks differently than we do? Would we really do that? My answer is simply and yet qualified, yes. If one is willing to respect our values and our mission, yes. Even if they do not agree with us on all things, if we're able to maintain a respectful dialogue and we are all in right relationship, then yes. Yes. If they are unwilling to honor or respect our values, principles, and mission, then no. No. Absolutely not. But before we would make that proclamation, we would have time for discussion, self-reflection, in order to adequately make such a decision together. That is what it is to be Unitarian Universalists. First Parish and our work towards justice is secured. We do an incredible amount of showing up, whether it is for worship, the Seekers Potlucks, to work at Open Table Pantry, to package meals with the Memorial Congregational Church, to build Habitat for Humanity houses, or to participate in the Walk for Hunger. And we support this congregation through our volunteerism and our commitment to the annual Canvas Pledge and the many Share the Plates or fundraising for clean drinking water in Cambodia. We continually walk the talk. When we look back at this work, how do we feel about it all? Do we feel good, affirmed in our beliefs? Do we? How do we feel about the work that we do? Let me hear it. Good? Is there any other words besides good? Do you feel inspired? Do you feel compelled to do more? Do you look at the world and say, we need to be out there? Because that's what I need to hear. Here's the best news of all. You can be as involved as you're able here at First Parish. We'll take it. We'll take it all. We'll take your ideas and we'll say yes. We'll ask you to join us and hope that you do. The important part of this journey together is that we all share the responsibility of membership. This is how it has been since the very beginning, right after they stopped renting out the pews. We are part of something that will have a long life if we care enough to believe that it is so. Because before anything else, believing is the most important thing. First Parish is our legacy to Metro West and to Sudbury. It is a direct representation of our commitment to living our faith in the world. This is the personification of our hopes and dreams for a better world. I'd like to take a moment to thank our stewardship team. I invite them to stand up. And how about all those that are making stewardship phone calls? Stay standing. Stand up, all the people who are making stewardship phone calls. These individuals are committed to saying yes. And sometimes when they say yes, they go, oh, God, I can't believe I just said yes. I know it isn't easy to make some of these phone calls, but they are necessary, and we must believe in our community enough to be able to make that clarion call for support. We need to be able to ask for help. And I thank you for doing that work. Sustaining abundance. These two words are meant to inspire us to support this community financially and with our volunteer hours. Sustaining abundance. I know that I'm a paid staff member, But I also do participate when I'm able as a volunteer. I volunteered at the pantry in Maynard on building the Habitat House in Wayland, making meals at MCC, and playing Jesus in next Saturday's activist dinner party, replete with all of the rehearsals. It takes us all to volunteer to make our dreams a reality, all of us. And that activist dinner, I'm getting the look. Come, please.
When does it start? 7?
7 o'clock. And dinner served. Sustaining abundance. These two words are incredibly revealing. Firstly, because in embracing them, we acknowledge that we have abundance, which, based on my earlier mantra, when one is grateful, fear disappears and abundance appears, is good news because it uncovers that ultimately we do feel a sense of gratefulness about First Parish of Sudbury. In many communities, this is the largest stumbling block that stewardship teams face, is the realization that they have a sense of abundance. This we already know. It is a key to realize for the health and well-being of a community that you have abundance. So yay us. With this said, I realize that sometimes it's easier to bemoan how busy we are or what we do not have than revel in the ways that we are blessed. How many people go around and go, oh my God, I'm so busy. I never can get to the end of my list. Come on, own up. I do the same thing. I do the same thing, but amazing that we're blessed with so much to do. Right? We just need to change our perspective, just the slightest bit. I fall into that hole all the time, and I always have a moment afterwards like, wow, what was that all about? Why all of a sudden was I so busy and overwhelmed? Get over yourself. The next moment after that is very revealing because it's usually followed by something like, is that what we really want to seed for our future? A sense of scarcity with regard to our time and resources. Do we really want to not have so much to do? Not to mention feelings of being overwhelmed or burned out or exhausted. Do we really want to not feel like we're coming into it, absolutely putting it all out there? Our thoughts control how we feel, overwhelmed or a sense of abundance. It's our minds that create that. It's our minds that make us feel that way. I know which one I would choose. Overwhelmed, sense of abundance. Do you remember about a month ago when I asked in a sermon about our individual perspectives? I asked the question, do we each one of us see the proverbial glass as half full or half empty? How many people remember that sermon? A couple of you. I'm going to start taking tests. It's a very basic question about perspective, and yet there is inherent subtleness of this sense of half full or half empty that can color one's entire life. This question reveals if one is an optimist or not. Let me be frank, that the life of an optimist is much different than one of a pessimist. Am I out in left field on this, or do you guys agree with this? Yeah. If you're an optimist, it kind of changes your whole life. If you're a pessimist, you walk around and your chin's down to your chest, and you're just believe the world is against you. Let me call on George Bernard Shaw, an Irish playwright and co-founder of the London School of Economics, to back me up on this. He explained that you see things, whoever you was, and you say, why? But I dream of things that never were, and I say, why not? You hear the difference? Why not? Why? I dream of things that never were, and I say, why not? Here's a little secret. Optimism is a spiritual practice. And here is the reality. You and I are the key to our future. Our energy, our focus, our resources, our commitment. Without us, Unitarian Universalists, the world would not be kinder or gentler. Yes, of course, the Quakers are out there. And yes, of course, they're working just as hard as we do. But we need to be there for each other. We need to show up with each other. Who would be willing to question authority and speak the truth to power, in love to power, like we do? Who would stand on the side of love, witnessing for all that is right in the world? And who would be the watchdog and reporter of all that constrains humankind from becoming our best selves? Who would do that work if it wasn't for us? Any day that you feel like you're not doing it, do it. Sustaining abundance. We are already there, knowing that we are blessed with a sense of abundance. Now we just need to recommit. We need to refocus and give until we feel it. You hearing me? We're going to give until we feel it. This idea of giving until we feel it comes down to really sharing the wealth and blessings in a way that reminds us each and every day that we are making a choice to say yes, and we're making a difference. We Unitarian Universalists have a fire burning in our bellies. We read or see the news and we say, not on my watch. Then we meet at First Parish and we plot our strategy and our possible revenge. We believe that we can make a difference. So then we do. The one mistake that we can sometimes make is that we lose perspective and forget that just one person can, in fact, make a difference. Imagine for a moment a whole congregation of people working together on a common cause. Think of that little Baptist church in Selma. We can change the world. We can. That's why I am here. To remind us. To say that we never, never can lose sight of this reality. That we are powerful beings. Whether one feels spiritually compelled or not, doesn't separate us from our call to be agents of change. My friends, there is no doubt that we are committed to making the world a better place. Is there anybody in here that sees any reason why we shouldn't do this work? How many people want to do the work? But here's my question that I need for you to ask yourselves this morning. Are we committed enough? Are we compelled enough to fill in the blank? What is that blank, Reverend Marjorie? That blank that I'm referring to is that nondescript place that is waiting for us to step up and into it and fill it with a sense of yes, making the commitment emotionally to be an optimist, physically by showing up, and financially by giving enough to feel it every day in order to be the change that is needed in this community, in the world. What I'm asking you on this auspicious Pledge Canvas Sunday is the same thing that I asked the First Church Unitarian of Littleton last Sunday. That's where I was. Do we, Unitarian Universalists, want to make a difference? Do we want to leave a legacy for those who have yet to arrive? Do we want to acknowledge our abundance and our blessings? Do we want to change our minds and our hearts in order to love the world into a better place? Do we want to love the world into a better place? It is up to each one of us to make this decision and to commit to working collectively to make it happen. I ask you as an advocate for change, to help the leadership of First Parish. Stewardship, you want to help them too. And myself, all of us. To dream things that never were and to realize the opportunity to say, why not? Why not? What's holding you back? In closing, I share some important sentiments from my colleague, Richard Gilbert. As long as human beings people the earth, we can be assured that in our loneliness, there is also love. Deep, infinite love, waiting to be tapped, to water barren brown fields of our loneliness. Love which shrivels if kept to the self, which flourishes only if it's given away. I need you. You need me. I know it. You know it. What are we waiting for? Spirit of life and love, Help us to realize that it is never too late to be the change, never. And please inspire our members, friends, and visitors of First Parish and all those who may hear this message of faith, hope, and love to embrace abundance, to help sustain it, enabling us to be our best selves and the best stewards that our planet has ever known. It is not too late. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen. Please rise in body and our spirit to sing our closing hymn, number 318, We Would Be One, located in the gray hymnal.